So, as we load up the first case, let's see here. I am Antonio.
You'll see from Antonio's profile that he's got. You'll see from Antonio's profile. He's got a nice solid GMAT at 700, balanced. A nice balanced score. His grades are solid or above average for most schools. He went to a very respectable state school and has 2 years working in the restructuring group as in iBanking. He is a white male, and he moved to Italy. He moved from Italy when he was a youngster, and so he and quite incredibly, I don't want to be too negative. I don't want to be too negative, but he's actually with what we have here. He's got problems in that he comes from an incredibly competitive group of candidates, and so I think the concept here is that we'll start to work with him to understand how he can differentiate himself. So Antonio, I guess let's start. Why don't we review a little bit of your background in the restructuring group? How have you been doing professionally to date?
I've been doing pretty well. I started 2 years ago, and I've been about middle upper of my class, and have enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the aspect of the deal when the deal gets done.
Right, so strong reviews, middling
Pretty,
reviews.
admit
to some middling
mostly
reviews.
strong.
Okay.
Not everybody loves me,
Right.
but I'm
Okay, and so
okay.
now, after 2 years, you're considering going back to school. And I mean, what's your impetus for going back to school now? Why not a third year? What are you thinking?
Well, the market right now isn't so
Right.
great. So it seems like maybe it's a pretty good time to look
Right.
at it. And I guess I could think about a third year, but I was thinking of it all along as 2 years and then go back to school.
Right. So what would you say some of your ambitions are going forward? Because you can differentiate yourself not only based on the past, but also based on the future. If you have, some, remarkable career goals that seem quite plausible, then that might help you.
Well, I guess I was just thinking I would stay in finance to show continuity to the admissions people, and that's what I've been doing.
Right.
So
And so, have you given any thought to how that could be a, you know, a how you could, what area you'd want to go back to if you're going back to finance, some sort of even differentiating within finance?
well, I don't know. I guess maybe I'll tell you what. When we do a restructuring, what I find really interesting is not even so much getting the deal done as looking at what the operational people on the business side are going to have to do. I mean, what we do is we help restructure companies that are in bankruptcy or in other kinds of trouble, and so we arrange the financing for them, and that's all well and good, but it's other people that are going to take the operational goals that we set, the numbers in the spreadsheet, and go make them happen.
Right. And so, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you would seem to be suggesting that you're more interested in actually working with the companies than you are with continuing in banking.
Well, yeah, actually, that's probably true.
Okay.
I mean, like you take a company like a textiles company, there are a lot of those in bankruptcy or in receivership or something,
Right.
and they got to actually make new goals. They have to go and sell their product. They have to cut costs in a rational way. I mean, that's interesting, but I guess I would like to do that, but I've got 2 years of finance experience. I want to get into school,
Right. I mean,
so.
I think that there's you don't have to feel obliged to follow your previous career path or any particular goal that you think the admissions committee will appreciate. I think you have to sort of create a connection between where you've been and where you're going and why that's important to you. somewhat on a somewhat, you know, sort of spiritual life level, as opposed to picking, you know, what you think someone else wants to hear. And that's definitely something that we encounter a fair amount. And there's no profession that a school, you know, has, it wants to hear from you. They want to know that you're going to be a success, and that passion would suggest that success. So I think that if you're interested in old-fashioned business like textiles, that could be quite different, because I don't think that that many other people are going to be interested in the textile business.
Yeah, well, that's actually my dad's background. I mean, when we moved here from Italy, we moved to North Carolina because my dad worked in the textiles industry. And so that's how we wound up here.
Right, and what's great about that is you have a restructuring background, and then you have this kind of personal family connection to these goals, which I think adds, you know, adds quite a bit of momentum behind it, which is going to be quite appealing. So I think that's great. I noticed as I was looking through your profile, I didn't see any community activity up there. I'm guessing you're a busy banker.
Yeah, I don't have any time. As I was thinking, I saw that too a few months, well, several months ago,
right,
that I had zero. So I don't know. I did something, I guess, so stereotypical. I went out and I had heard about Big Brothers, so I became a Big Brother, and now I'm a Big Brother. And I've been a Big Brother for the last, I don't know, like 3-4 months or something. Okay. And
I mean, one thing I would say is that with only 2 years at a school, it's possible that if you did something remarkable at UNC, that, you know, we could access that as a significant story. We can definitely go into that. But in terms of 4 months as a Big Brother, tricky. You know, it's certainly nothing that I think, you know, is immediate as an impact. But
right.
You know, it depends really on what you've done with your big with your little brother, and the kind of impact you've had on him. Because really, the quality of your story with him is what's going to make your story high quality. You know, if you've just gone out for beers with your little brother, then you're definitely not going to get in. But if you've had consistent contact and you're already seeing some changes, then I think that I think that you might have a story there potentially. You know, it's something that is difficult to pin down immediately.
You know, it's funny because I have to be honest. I did it for the, you know, to sort of pad my resume, but I've actually taken to my little brother, Raymond. I've gotten more into the whole thing than I thought I would.
Right.
But I feel really guilty about that, because I feel guilty about, like, writing about this at all.
Right.
You know, because now it's like that I actually mean it. I kind of feel bad talking about it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But I think that if there's a sincerity of your effort and we can see a change in this individual in a short period of time, that could potentially mitigate the short period of time that you've worked with them. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but if we can see that, if the sincerity can really come through, you know, in the next little while, I think that's great. And if you've really made a commitment to him, you know, we could work with that.
I mean, I want to continue working with him, you know, seeing him until such time as I leave this city, you know, so I want to have a long-term relationship with him.
That's great.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. And then you know, beyond that, I mean, you mentioned that you're originally from Italy. Do you still have your Italian citizenship?
Is this actually, I have dual citizenship.
Okay.
I was born in Milan, and I moved here in high school. So I still have a lot of relatives back in Italy, and actually, there's even ancestry in France.
Hmm.
So,
I'm guessing is Italian still the language of your home?
Actually, yeah, we speak Italian, but also speak English, and so I speak both. And I read French.
You read French. So, how did you manage to come about reading French and not speaking it?
yeah, that's a good question. My grandfather was French, and when I was a sophomore in college, I was back at my grandmother's home in Milan, and she had this book that my grandfather wrote. He's no longer alive, and he wrote it in French, but all my generation, none of us speak French, and And so I was looking at this book, and I just felt like, because it was sitting there covered with dust, and I decided to say, you know, hey, Nona, I'm going to try reading this. Nice. And so I learned French to read my grandfather's honestly not so great novel. But
sat there with a French English dictionary as you read.
That's
a pretty unusual personal story. You know, there are lots of people, you know, I think who, especially for some people who might be a little lighter on community service, who, you know, who might have a personal story to tell to balance things out. You know, that's mm-hmm. a story that, you know, that would suggest intellectual curiosity. Hmm. It would suggest some fundamental values, appreciation for your history, you know, respect for your grandmother, etc. Maybe some adventuristic tendencies. You know, all those types of things. I mean, if you look at your schools, you know, it might make a good foil to a deal story for one of your three achievements at Harvard, mm-hmm. or it could make for an interesting piece of an interesting tidbit to throw into your slides for Chicago. And it's something that, you know, no one else, as far as I know, as I look out into this crowd, I'm guessing that no one else here has a similar experience, and it's something that could really catch someone's attention. So I think that it's something that you probably shouldn't cast aside.
Okay. I've never put it on a resume before.
Yeah, you know, so. There's certain things that don't fit nicely into a box, but they can fit nicely into a narrative. So it certainly is something to consider.
Okay.
And these are, you know, these and other stories are worth exploring. You know, you have your own family history as well. You know, what it was like to move to a new country. And again, you know, that's far in the past, and it might not necessarily work, but it's definitely something to explore, mm-hmm. because the schools want to know you as more than just your GMAT scores and your middling analyst job, and
middling to good.
Middling to good, exactly, and your 4 months of being a big brother, which is still great.
Great. Okay, so I think then that's Antonio, and we have some takeaways that we can throw up on the board now. Why don't you do it?
Okay,
I will advance it.
I don't show my blood egg tendencies. Okay. I mean, I think if you look at this, you know, hopefully the first point that you got out is you don't have to be anyone. It sounds like something your mom might say to you, but it's the truth. Attempting to be something that you're not passionate about, you're going to lack the sincerity in your essays, and you're not going to stand out. This individual seemed to be quite sincerely passionate about restructuring in an old-fashioned industry. That's to me is much more powerful than a blasé attitude towards finance that will come out via essays and via an interview for sure. It's very difficult to fake that kind of passion. The second is indeed, you know, write about recent activities. But keep them in perspective. And, you know, you have to have a very, very powerful story if it's something you've started recently. And in this case, we don't know. I mean, we can see we've got a reformed man here in Antonio who's come to community service late and has really appreciated it. And maybe that passion can translate into quite a sincere story if that person can show, you know, very thorough examples. The jury's out on that one, but the idea is that, you know, you don't have anything to be ashamed about or feel like, you know, you have to make excuses for if you've started your community activities, you know, in the not so distant future. And finally, the last one, and this is one that we really focus on, you know, and some people are going to have the stories and some people aren't, but it's something very, very much worth exploring with everyone because, you know, again, I'm going to sound like a mom, but you know, you're distinct, you're different, and you know, there are a lot of people who have the deal story and not a lot of people who have, you know, who have the story of learning French to read their grandfather's book, which is actually a real life example. So it's not as far fetched as you would think. And you know, the things that have made you who you are, and the adventures you've had in your life are all fair game. And a lot of them are adventures that other people won't necessarily have gone on. You just need to really, really look for them. And they can be a moment in time. They can be a month long or a year long experience. But for almost everyone, there's something there, and it's definitely, again, worth exploring. So with that, I think I've used my allotment.
Okay, great.
Thank you very much. And
thanks,
I'll turn
Jeremy.
Back over to Chris.
Okay. And a round of applause for Jeremy. We will, again, please hold your questions. And next up, we have Graham Richmond.